Welcome to Shakespeare FC, The Words, a 5-minute journey into the individual bits of language that were forged, fletched, hewn, and hammered, and sometimes crowbarred, into existence by our brilliant and witty Warwickshirean wordsmith, or, as you become more familiar, Uncle Will. I'm your host, Kari Marshall.
Shot in the light of day in a house filled with people? That's cold-blooded, Horatio.
It's as cold as ice.
Ah, the understated openings of CSI. But today, we are not spending our time in balmy Miami chasing mercurial and malevolent murderers, but rather with more mundane monarchical machinations, as well as lineage claims to the throne in a somewhat less sunny England. It was here, in the damp isle and bits of rural France, where Uncle Will first chilled his quill with the words cold-blooded. In fact, William was so fond of this concept and particular phrasing to encapsulate an unfeeling, dispassionate cruelty that he would employ the phrase in no fewer than 5 of his plays, beginning with King John in 1594. The play so far. In a world where allegiance seems as fickle as the English weather, King John, or at least Uncle Will's version, finds himself besieged by an insurmountable array of familial betrayal, political intrigue, and some rather poor life choices, which finds our titular monarch teetering on the edge of royal legitimacy. Newly crowned King John faces a challenge to his throne from his nephew Arthur, who is supported by his mother, and also France. King John and King Philip of France meet to negotiate, but their talks break down, leading to the siege of the city of Angers. A marriage alliance between John's niece Blanche and Philip's son Louis is suggested as a solution to the conflict, which both sides accept, so all is well. Not really. In Act 3, tensions remain high as Constance, the mother of Arthur, passionately advocates for her son's rightful claim to the English throne, and has a few choice words for our king and his company.
What a fool art thou! A ramping fool to brag and stamp and swear upon my party! Thou cold-blooded slave! Hast thou not spoke like thunder on my side? Been sworn my soldier, bidding me depend upon thy stars, thy fortune, and thy strength? And dost thou now fall over to my foes? Thou, where a lion's hide? Doff it for shame!
Uncle Will was very fond of this thermo-emotional-linguistic idea, using various iterations of it several times. In Antony and Cleopatra as an illustration of an unfeeling and uncaring Egyptian queen, from my cold heart let heaven engender hail. To the ghost of Hamlet's father, warning his son that the afterlife is terrifying, saying, I could a tale unfold whose lightest word would harrow up thy soul, freeze thy young blood. William may have come across the idea to equate chilly blood with uncaring or unfeeling emotions from the Old English via the Proto-Germanic kaldhort, which meant cruel, probably coming from kald for cold and hort for heart. But we most notably come across the term cold-blooded in school. Grade school biology class, to be specific, where I first heard the term ectotherm in relation to our reptilian cousins. Actually, I think it was before that on the playground, when I made the mistake of asking my crush du jour out to the dance in front of her friends, to which I believe her words were, yeah right, with an eye roll, to which my best friend Ron piped up with, oh man, that was cold-blooded. Well, alas and alack, my friends, that is all we have time for. Join us again next time for another hopefully informative journey into the mind of Uncle William. I'm Kari Marshall. Farewell until next time.
Shakespeare FC is a production of WGTE Public Media and is sponsored in part by a generous donation from the Cowie Family Fund. All previous episodes are available at wgte.org/sfc or wherever you get your podcasts.